In this week's Wikipedia Wanderers, we talk Brian Robson's first foray into management with Middlesbrough FC.
Hello everybody and welcome back to Wikipedia Wanderers. And this week, we delve back into the history books. I think I say that every episode. I don't think we've done anything modern. Yeah. It's not our era. Like
we say if we don't do that, it's probably more known, isn't it? Yeah.
I think so. Middlesbrough, Josh. 1994, I think, is when we're starting. I think that's what you told me for the inauguration of Brian Robson. Is that the right word to use?
No, that's definitely the right word.
Awesome.
Brian Robson's first team management, player management, and it's that. Do you remember the photo of him holding the scarf aloft?
Yeah.
And he's which half of it?
It was boss. Like, it was boss on the top, player on the bottom, wasn't it? Shorts. It was shorts, yeah. Shin pads, socks on the bottom, and a suit and tie on the top.
Yeah, it's kind of like which way's a mermaid? That kind of Gervais joke around fish head, female legs. I bet that was a kind of PR discussion, right? It was player manager. Which half first? Are we going.
You can't have a player manager which is suit trousers on the bottom. I guess suit trousers on the bottom and shirt on top.
But I don't think it's as pronounced. I think you can go, oh, he's just wearing a shirt. Whereas no manager would wear socks, boots, and shorts. So it's definitely the more pronounced version of it. Yes. Yeah,
true.
But he joins 94-95 from United. And plays like 20 odd games that season, but is in Division One. They've been relegated. They were in the Premier League inaugural Premier League season. We relegated a few seasons. Manager beforehand, Lenny Lawrence. Recognise the name?
I do recognise that name, Lenny Lawrence.
Do you?
Is that the same Lenny Lawrence that was like Wickham manager at one point?
No.
What Lawrence am I thinking of?
So this is Plymouth Argyle caretaker, Charlton, Borough, Bradford, Luton, Grimsby, Cardiff and Palace as recently as 2012. Now is a NED, non-executive director at Hartlepool.
Laurie Sanchez, so I'm thinking of. Unbelievable. What a start to the podcast.
Okay. Just as another one though, who was the Sunderland player? I think it might have been alliteration of LL, someone like Lenny Lawrence. Had bleached blonde hair at times, like midfielder, right foot midfielder.
It was something Lawrence. Oh my god.
Sunderland. Liam Lawrence,
that's it. Yeah. I knew who you were talking about.
And maybe other people too, did
I? So, what interests me, Josh, on this page, 94-95, is actually nothing to do with Brian Robson, the first thing I looked at.
Okay.
Was chairman, Steve Gibson. He's still there, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, he's actually a really well-loved chairman. So he obviously was part of a consortium that helped buy Borough when they're facing a financial extinction, probably about 10 years before this, I think 86, good year. And yeah, I think then becomes chairman a bit later on, and he is there now. I'm not quite sure if his role is still chairman, but he's definitely still involved with the club because Spurs played Borough a few years back and he was still in the stands. But yeah, and this season was Middlesbrough's last at Ayresome Park. A stadium I don't really recall.
No.
It's been Riverside. For me, throughout my knowledge.
Didn't it? Ayresome Park, I think. A lot of nostalgia. I think a lot of people always spoke fondly of it. But yeah, Riverside is how I remember them. 30,000 seats, Riverside Stadium, when they moved into it. It's pretty good.
Yeah, so Borough in that season finished top of the league by only 3 points, promoted to the Premier League. Lovely stuff. So great first season. You're playing 20-odd times as a manager, as a player. You got promoted. That's pretty good,
no? It's pretty good. I think just before we go and look at the next season, because I'm sure that's what we're going to get to, about the team that he builds, John Hendry scored the last goal at Ayresome Park. Do you know anything about John Hendry? Another Hendry to add to the list that we were chatting about previously?
Not much, no.
No. So John Hendry, on his... I'll have a quick look at his page. He's a Scottish footballer. He started his career at Coventry, Hereford, Bradford, Newcastle, Leeds, Middlesbrough, Barnsley. And... quite a poignant thing here because he scored the last goal at Ayresome Park and that was one of his 44 goals for Middlesbrough and got replaced by Janinho, who I'm sure you're going to touch on in just a second, because he moved to Barnsley. John Hendry moved to Barnsley, where he finished his career and also became manager. But, yeah, it was him leaving, and he was their top goal scorer in that 94-95 season. Also scored the last goal at Ayresome Park, but wasn't given a chance. Were Barnsley in the Premier League in 95-96? Or were Barnsley... Did John Hendry go, this is my level, and I want to stay at League One?
It's quite nice when a player admits that, but let's see. So Barnsley, no, we're not at that level, I'm sure. Yeah, finished 10th in the Division One at the time.
Okay.
A player I've noticed, I don't know if we know him, but Jan Agafjortoff.
Yeah, Jan Agafjortoff, the aeroplane from Swindon, scored the first ever hat trick in the Premier League, I think.
Oh, so he's at Borough this time, signed out there by Robson, and goes on to play for a couple more seasons, so he actually stays in the Premier League. So yeah, that's a kind of a signing season. They also signed Viv Anderson, who was also the assistant. So I think they might have had a player manager and player assistant.
That's amazing if they did.
Yeah, so Viv Anderson played for Borough... Yeah, 94-95, a couple of times. And let's see if this isn't about it. So, the end of, he quit Barnsley, become assistant manager of Barrow. Yeah, so imagine if there was a double substitution with both, come on.
That would be amazing. It was his final season as a player, wasn't it, Viv Anderson? Yeah, yeah. That was his final player.
Yeah, so this is a Barrow side with Clayton Blackmore, Andy Todd, Nigel Pearson in there, so lots of kind of names that are kind of not good. Robbie Musto, Jamie Pollock, and so promoted Premier League, bam, we're in there. Middlesbrough, what do? They bring in Nick Barmby, Janino, and Branco is a player that I don't know, but they mentioned. So Branco, another Brazilian. Do you have any knowledge of this guy?
No knowledge of defender Branco for Middlesbrough.
Is that just to be friends with Janino?
I wonder, was it a double deal or is it two different clubs? Have they come from the same club?
Let's have a look. So signed for Barra from Internacional, and Janino joined, I don't think it was from Internacional.
Sao Paulo.
Sao Paulo. Yeah. So I'm just looking on Branco's page. A member of the triumphant Brazil team at 94 World Cup, Branco was a renowned free-kick specialist, as was his international successor Roberto Carlos, known for his accuracy in placing the ball in the direction that he wanted to free-kick. Wow. Man can kick it where he wants.
Man kicks ball where he wants. Specialist.
So during his spell at Barrow, he scored twice, both goals coming against Hereford in the League Cup, once at home and first leg once away. However, he played just 9 times in the Premier League and left the club after less than a year. Okay. That one didn't work out, but I'd say Juninho worked out.
Juninho did work. On Branco, as of 2006, Branco was the general manager overseeing Brazil's national youth teams. That's quite a title for international Brazil youth teams. But anyway, he didn't work out at Middlesbrough. Juninho definitely did.
I'm just trying to work out. I thought I was on Branco's page. It's like Premier League Player of the Month, Premier League Player of the Season. I'm like, what? Oh no, this is Juninho's page. Juninho, the other Brazilian, the probably more renowned Brazilian. Obviously, he has signed, placed 3 different times for Middlesbrough. This is his first stint. It's not your usual move, is it? Sao Paulo to the northeast of England for a newly promoted side, but hey, it worked.
It did work, and I've sort of got, a question would be, why, is what I'd want to ask him. My question to you, Josh, is, do you have any recollection of his 3 different stints? Like, could you separate them out? I can't. No. I just think Janino at Middlesbrough just happened all at one time, and he wore the same shirt the whole time. Like, I can't picture him in any different shirts or anything, but 3 different stints. The first one, 95 to 97, £4.75 million. That's a lot of money in those days.
So I'm looking here, but during his time there, he was known as TLF, the little fella. because he's only 5'5". During his time there, he lived with his parents. He was known for playing football with school children on the streets and still considered one of the greatest players to have played for Middlesbrough in the modern era. He made his debut November 95, setting up a goal for Fjortov and provided extremely effective as an attacking midfielder. And so that season, obviously, we're back in the Premier League and we're finishing 12th. So, you know, pretty good. Nick Barmy's top scorer. So John Henry goes away, having scored more goals, obviously, in Division 1, 20 and 17. Nick Barmy joins and scores 9 goals. Nick Barmby memories. You got them?
Weirdly, it's Liverpool.
Is it?
Yeah. His Liverpool stint is probably where I remember him the most. But we touched on Nick Barmby last episode.
Yeah, because he was signed by Leeds.
On a when
it was all going a bit awry. So, yeah, we go Tottenham start. We didn't play that many games for any club. So 3 years at Tottenham, just a season at Borough, then moves on to Everton for 4 seasons, Hull. Then to Liverpool, then to Liverpool, then to Leeds, loaned to Forest, and then Hull for his longest stint, actually.
I got a feeling he was a coach at Hull, a player coach, and his son, and then his son played for Hull.
He managed Hull.
Managed them, okay.
Yeah.
Wow. I was going back to Middlesbrough, away from Nicky Barmby, that 95-96 season under Robbo, it's incredibly good until Christmas.
They lost. It's a real shocker, isn't it?
They lost 4 games before Christmas and then lost 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 games in a row after Christmas.
Boxing Day onwards, scoring 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 goals, one of them being an own goal.
They went 13 games without a win.
Oh my goodness, look at the goals though. Actually, the goals gets even worse. So they score in that 8-game loss, then they draw again 0-0, no goals. Then they lose without scoring, then they score one, then they go with another 0-0. So across 3, 6, 9, 12, 13 games, they score 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 goals. It's like Chelsea.
Yeah. And their win against Leeds came from a penalty.
Yeah. And then that's Freedom. Fjortov gets a couple with Freestone. Freestone getting a goal. Who's Freestone? Chris Freestone. Wow. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
We thought
Sao Paulo to Middlesbrough was weird. How about going from Arnold Town to the Premier League and playing straight away?
Yeah. That's what Chris Freestone did. I mean, he's been through it. And he ended his career with Gedling Miners Welfare.
Unbelievable. I mean, credit to Middlesbrough. They thought they must have found a gem, according to that he scored 67 in 60 for Arnold Town.
Well, that's why he's getting snapped up, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, you know, you're promoted and you finished 12th in the league. And, you know, it's very similar to a lot of Premier League Uni Pro sides do this. They have a really good run to begin with. And then it's just like it all falls apart. And they just clung on to that early season performance. But 12th, nothing wrong there. Next season. This is where, you know, you're now bringing in some bigger names. You've got Fabrizio Ravanelli comes in, multi-million pound signing. We've got Emerson, Brazilian midfielder coming in. We've got Mark Schwarzer coming in from Bradford, I think actually joins from. And we have Mikael Beck. If that's a name that means anything to you.
I recognise the name. I don't know too much about him. Gianluca Festa was the one that caught my eye.
Gianluca Festa, yes. Where did Gianluca Festa actually come from? Was this his first English stint? Internationale, yeah. Yeah, so he'd been at Cagliari, Inter, Roma, Inter again, and then goes to Borough. Obviously, if you're Italian, like, there's still areas of Italy which, you know, seem less appealing, but because being English, you go, God, he's gone from Milan and Rome to Middlesbrough and Portsmouth. And it just takes an edge off, I'd say. So who else do we have there? We have, Mark Schwarzer joins. Viv Anderson is still knocking about in the squad.
Yeah. Oh, Fabrizio Ravanelli.
Yeah, so what's the... That's Lazio, is it, to here? Or Juventus to here? Yeah. One season, 17 goals. Runners-up in the FA Cup and the League Cup.
Was
How about...
the FA Cup, was that the quickest goal in FA Cup history? Final history, where it is off the Di Matteo against Chelsea?
That will be that match, yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
So they obviously knew they needed to get some more goals in. So what did they go from? They went from scoring 35 that season to scoring 51, but they just kept conceding more. Turned the dial too much. And yeah, so runners-up in both competitions, but end up being relegated. But it's a bit of a funny one, this one, because they get a points deduction.
Ah.
A 3-point point deduction for failure to put out a side. So that's interesting. So what game is that? So, and that points deduction, obviously, because you look at the table, they finished 2 points from safety. So that 3 points becomes very telling.
Ah. Added to this, Middlesbrough were faced with the wrath of the Football Association for postponing a fixture against Blackburn Rovers at short notice. The club's officials insisted that manager Brian Robson had been unable to field a team due to severe injury and illness crisis among his players, but this did not prevent the FA from docking the club's 3 points. To rub it in, I think in that rearranged fixture, because they postponed it, they won. Because it says Middlesbrough managed to put together a good run of results and look like a decent bet for survival, but the FA's refusal to restore Middlesbrough's 3 points counted against them, and a 1-1 draw at Leeds United on the final day of the season, that which they needed to win, resulted in relegation. So Brian Robson said they couldn't fulfil a fixture against Blackburn, but then they postponed it, played it anyway, won. The FA said you're not allowed those points, and then they go down on the final day of the season by 2 points.
Obviously don't know many Middlesbrough fans, but you don't hear it mentioned too much. Maybe just enough time has passed that we stopped talking about. But I mean, you still hear about Sheffield United and the Tevez Mascherano piece, don't you?
Yeah. But there wasn't as much money for this, was there? Like, obviously there was still money at stake, but this was like the Sheffield United West Ham thing was like the £30 million game or something, a £30 million result, wasn't it? Where going down lost you £30 million. So.
And this was Robson's final season. He played once in this. I don't know what game he played, but it'd be interesting to know what point he thought he was worth bringing himself on. Whether he was maybe around that injury period where they're struggling to field a side. But relegated down to Division 1 at the time. And who do they both have to get rid of? Ravinelli and Juninho.
Yeah.
And Juninho goes, but we bring in Merson, Gazza, Townsend, Hamilton, Rickard. Wow. That's
impressive.
That's got to be some slick, sexy football in that league, you've got to think.
Yeah.
Surely.
Yeah. I mean, a Gazza. Well, there's a concern, isn't there? A Gazza Merson midfield doesn't strike you as peak physical fitness.
No, that's a midfield that can work in a lower division when you're outgunning others, I think.
Yeah. I mean, in a midfield three, potentially, Emerson at the base and then Gazza and Mercer go and do their thing? Or do you think
midfield threes don't exist in this era, Dave. This is 1997, this is 4-4-2.
So what we think, we're thinking Mercer
one's in
does
midfield,
one half. Mercer does the first half, Gazza does the second.
I imagine one's off the striker, one's in midfield.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. That would make sense.
What is it? I mean, Paul Merson's page? What do you have there? Yeah, so 327 appearances for Arsenal. Then we go to straight to Borough. So he signed for relegated Port Middlesbrough. £4.5 million. He offered a new contract but turned down for higher wages at Borough. He was going to be paid more at Borough than Bergkamp was at Arsenal.
I had to click on Hamilton Rickard because I was like, I know him, I don't know where he came from. Middlesbrough love an obscure signing. Straight from Deportivo Cali. Hamilton Rickard.
Got to think they've got some good scouts, South American scouts. They've got a kind of South American vibe there, haven't they? I didn't like Hamilton Rickard. He scored a few times against Spurs. It annoys me.
Fair enough. I mean, they might have a good scouting network. They didn't have a good administrative team. Rickard was signed for Middlesbrough by manager Brian Robson for a fee of £2 million in 1998. He signed his signature on a napkin because Middlesbrough had no documents. Amazing.
Yeah. Just looking here, he's right, isn't it? Because so Merson's at Borough, plays well for them, gets promoted with them, and was actually in the France 98 squad.
Oh, yeah.
So he's not last legs at that point. And Gazza would have been in there. And so Gazza was playing for England that following season because he signed from Rangers, but he just missed out because of it was a bit of falling out of Poddle, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, yeah. So, and they got to the League Cup final again.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Losing to Chelsea. Bloody hell.
That's got to be a bit bitter to take. So, yeah, then we get back up into the Premier League. Hamilton Rickard is top goal scorer. 18 goals. It must be all competition, surely.
Yeah, League 15, all competitions. Still, 18. Yeah.
That's not bad for League. As someone who's, you know, come from obscurity.
Again, it's a cracking start to the season. Okay, they draw, but then they beat Leicester, beat Spurs, Hamilton Rickard getting two.
I remember it being a Monday night game.
13th of September. Don't know if it's a Monday night.
Yeah, I remember.
Would that have been peak Sky Sports Monday night football? Ford Monday night football. Yeah. Drew to Everton, lost to Chelsea, but then went on a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 game unbeaten run where they drew with Arsenal, beat Man United, drew with Newcastle, beat Blackburn, beat Sheffield Wednesday 4-0. So they hit a bit of form there, and then
Christmas comes again.
Christmas comes and it goes to shit. So,
I mean, something goes on around Christmas up in Middlesbrough. I go, oh, so they really just hit the Christmas celebrations hard and it just petered out again.
Yeah.
I mean, Robson was known for his
party
lifestyle.
And with Gaz, yeah. And with Gazza and Merson, it's not going to get any easier having a party lifestyle.
Yeah. Well, Gazza departs, I think. At that point, he was only there for about one season.
Well, he scored. No, he scored against
Southampton. Oh, no, sorry, yeah. He's there a bit longer. Merson leaves the following season.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Merson's there for a couple of seasons, yeah.
But they have brought in number six, Gary Pallister.
Who was originally at Middlesbrough. Sold to United, spent time at United, then returned to Borough.
And he was born in Ramsgate.
In Kent, yes.
Yeah. How strange. Didn't know that. But that's a very old Gary Pallister in 1998. He kept playing until 2001.
Yeah, and he broke the transfer record, national transfer record, for a fee paid for a defender when he joined United.
Bloody hell.
And the second highest fee to be paid by a British club, which was with the Ian Rush return to Liverpool from Juventus a year earlier.
Yeah. But the squad definitely looks like it's being thinned out. Here, Paul Merson goes to Villa, Mikael Beck goes to Derby, Clayton Blackmore to Barnsley, Gustavo Lombardi left. Don't recognise that.
Didn't even mention him joining, never appeared. That's why. Yeah. Never played for him. Yeah.
And then reserve squad, Brad Jones.
Ah, that's where we're getting Brad Jones involved.
Liverpool. He had a little stint at Liverpool.
Oh, he did have somewhere, didn't he? He went to be back up at, Liverpool. I'd say that's Roy Hodgson era. Yeah, so still playing. Playing for Perth Glory now, age 41.
Goals, what have we got? 15 goals. Oh, yeah, 15 goals for Hamilton Rickard. We touched on that. 18 goals overall in the season. But hang on. Whoa. That's a name I didn't see on here. Oh, yeah, there he is. Brian Dean joins from Benfica for £3 million.
Yeah, it's almost funny that Brian Dean never went to Benfica, really. But
yeah.
Yeah, we touched on him. He would have been at Leeds as well. He's a Leeds boy. And obviously we know him because...
first goal scorer in the Premier League. Sheffield United against Man United.
Yeah. We have a player here, Marco Branca, wearing the number 9 shirt. They've been bought... where's the number 9 shirt? But appears one substitute appearance. That's... what's going on there? First season with... so he's at Inter... 17 goals, 24 matches. Did not repeat it next season, was sold to Middlesbrough. When he scored, it's hard to work out when he went across because he did score 9 goals
in 12 games.
Appearances, which is good, but it's not what the stats say. Whether we go to 99, 2000. No, he doesn't. Oh, there's something awry there. That's an issue, isn't it?
Yeah. That is very odd.
But let's move on to 99-2000, shall we?
Yeah, so Middlesbrough finished that year in 97-98 to finishing ninth in the league, which is pretty good, but ahead of Tottenham in 11th. But Tottenham get European football, so you have the last laugh.
Record. Yeah, so is that their best Premier League finish? That is their best Premier League finish today, isn't it?
Yeah, ninth is their best Premier League finish. So 99-2000, Hamilton Rickard again, top goal scorer, 12 in the league, 14 overall, not too bad. They finished 12th, again, not too bad. I think this is the kit I remember, sponsored by BT Cellnet.
I definitely remember that, yeah.
I think this is the kit I remember. And then this year, squad's looking pretty similar, but obviously some more ins coming in. Paul Ince joins from Liverpool for £1 million. Christian Ziga joins from AC Milan for £4 million. Carlos Marinelli, who is a player I absolutely love, joined for £1.5 million. And Arturo joined from Srikuma for a free transfer. That is someone I do not know, so I'll have a quick look at him in a minute. Andy Townsend left for West Brom for £50,000, and Mickey Cummins was released on a free to Port Vale. Now, Arturo, Josh, can you tell me anything about him?
He's played for a lot of clubs. So, again, Borough signing him age 18 from Kirikumia, which I presume is he's just a Brazilian club with a no. It's got a tiny page. You've got half the squad now are only clickable links. So, it doesn't appear ever for them.
Do we think that scout in Brazil was just living off the Juninho recommendation? Like, he recommended Juninho, it worked out, and as soon as he thought he had found another player, Borough just went, yep.
It does give credibility to some, but whether he's South American coach in signing other players, but Hamilton Rickard would be another feather in his cap then, wouldn't it?
Yeah, true, yeah.
Would Carlos Marinelli be a feather in his cap?
In my opinion, yes. But they've signed him from Boca Juniors, who are a big team in South America anyway. Yeah. So.
Before he'd ever made an appearance for them, though.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, yeah. Okay. I liked Marinelli. I think he was just exotic.
Kind of bleached, blonde hair, left-footed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. It's not kind of. It was bleached, blonde hair, left-footed. That's exactly how it's... Left back or left wing. Left side.
That's what happened when you're left-footed, isn't it?
Yeah. Exactly. So,
Kansas City Wizards he appeared for 41 times in 2007.
You love an MLS name, you do.
I do. I'm going to go the opposite side of the coin and go for the most bland name I can look at. So, Colin Cooper. We must remember Colin Cooper, centre back.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Hartlepool manager, caretaker at Borough, caretaker at Bradford. Yeah, like the North East. You know, two stints at Borough, stint at Sunderland. We mentioned that the North East seems to have a ability to regenerate or churn through its players, much like Syria.
Yeah, very true. It's not a standout squad, is it, this one? It's not. I mean, Gary Pallister's still knocking around. Gianluca Festa is still there. Juninho comes back for Atletico Madrid on loan this season, so that'll be a feather in the cap, a big buoyancy move. But yeah, I mean, your midfield, before Juninho comes back, your midfield options are Robbie Musto, Paul Gascoigne, Paul Ince.
Ziga's probably playing on left, maybe, or left back.
I mean, where did they finish this season?
12th.
I mean, it's not bad, yeah. Still good. They're still hanging on in there, doing all right. FA Cup, they lose to Wrexham. Brian Dean scored in the third round, but they lose to Wrexham. Get to the fifth round of the League Cup, losing to Tranmere Rovers. But they... Oh, that's going to hurt. They beat Arsenal in round four and then lose to Tranmere Rovers in round five. That's not... Because I think if you beat Arsenal, you'll be like, we've got a chance here. And then it all goes tits up. But, Brian Dean netted 10. Juninho netted 5. Ziegler netted 7. Not too bad.
Yeah. But next season doesn't start so well. Sorry.
Before we move on to the next season, Josh, guess what happened from the 25th of December onwards?
Did they have a poor run?
They went on a game of six games without a win. They scored one, two goals in six games. So something happens at Christmas at Middlesbrough. Unbelievable.
Well, they managed to rectify it the next season, 2000-2001. You know, so we have Christian Ziegler leaving, and Alan Armstrong goes to Ipswich. But other than that, nothing really of note going out. Christian Caramboo comes in, though.
There's one very significant out, Josh, and that is Brian Robson. After a shaky start to the season, is fired. So he didn't get to Christmas, and this is the best Christmas they have. Their best Christmas period they have.
Well, Terry Venables comes in as joint manager.
Oh. Wow, okay. I didn't really... Yeah, from the 4th of December, Terry Venables, joint manager, yeah.
Yeah, and that, I mean, it does change things. So they'd lost 6-7 out of the last 8. Terry Venables comes in as joint manager, which has got to be a little bit demeaning for Brian Robson, who at this point has been managing them for about 5-6 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to bring someone in to help. What? So Terry Venables comes in, and yeah, so that's where they right the wrong. They kind of have that Christmas period where instead of losing, they draw them. They draw kind of 8 out of 11 games, something like that. And, you know, don't have really too bad end to the season overall. But at the end of the season, we have Terry Venables and Brian Robson leave and replaced by who?
Steve McLaren.
They do like an England manager up in the North East, don't they?
They do. They really
Terry
do.
Venables, Steve McLaren, Gareth Southgate. Maybe Michael Carrick in the future.
Yeah, maybe.
No, yeah, but this is the year Alan Boxic comes.
Yeah.
Joseph Desiree Job is here. Hugo Ekiog is in. So Hugo Ekiog's a big signing. That was 8 million. Wow.
I'm looking at those ins, Josh. And my question to you is, what's the worst one out of all those ins? If you figure out the player, because we know most of those players, I would say. In fact, we know all those players. We remember all those players. If you went knowing the player and then consider the value, which was the worst transfer? For example, let everyone know. Christian Caramboo joined from Real Madrid for 2.1 million. Paul Ocon joined from Fiorentina, free transfer. Mark Crosley from Nottingham Forest, free transfer. Noel Whelan from Coventry City, 2 million. Joseph Desiree Job from Lan, 3 million. Alan Boxic from Lazio, 2.5 million. Hugo Ekiog from Villa, 8 million. And Dean Windass from Bradford City for 600,000. What's the worst transfer out of all of that, Josh?
I'd probably say a Windass or Whelan.
I think I'm leaning towards Windass. Windass for 600,000 just seems bonkers when you've already bought 3 other strikers.
Yeah, it's unnecessary. He went on loan during that season, I think. Another season that goes by, and another mid-table finish, 14th. But, as we said, the end of a Robson era. And it's what ifs, I suppose, that 96-97 season. What if, you know, those cup wins and that, you know, if you could have fielded that side and got a result of some sorts, could have stayed up.
Do you think, what do you think a cup win does for a club? Like, if you're saying, let's say they won the FA Cup that year rather than losing 2 finals. They lost the League Cup, win the FA Cup. Do you think the chairman invests more money? Do you think he gives more money for transfers? Do you think it gives the clubs a buoyancy? Do you think it gives the manager a buoyancy, like a bounce? I'm just thinking, you're saying like it's the what ifs if they won that, if they won the cups or won one of them. Like what difference would it? Do you think it could?
It would give the fan, for me, primarily it's fans, something to cheer about.
Yeah, but then does it not put more pressure on in the next season?
I don't think it puts pressure on. A cup win doesn't put pressure on, I don't think.
Okay.
I think a cup win takes pressure off, I'd say. League performance puts pressure on because cup's so fortuitous, right? Like, luck of the draw, home and away, whoever you're matched against, and timers of the games, and things like that. And it's just a one-off game, ultimately.
True.
I think that there's no real pressure. You, defending FA Cup champions, I think it's like, so what? It's luck of the draw. League... For me, that you set a precedent there. You've managed over 38 games and you achieve, like Liverpool, for example, this season, and Arsenal for next season. So Liverpool obviously finished second last year and have dropped down now to 8th. That's getting people talking, right? That's,
yeah.
And Arsenal set a precedent. They'll finish, you know, most likely second, maybe first. And then what can they do next year? Can they keep that up? That becomes a conversation. But as a cup win, I think it takes pressure off a side, you know, for example, Tottenham had won a cup. over the last few seasons. And there'll be a lot less pressure. There'll be a lot less talk around, you know, will Harry Kane lead to achieve something? Will Tottenham win something? And
Okay, I'll get you.
But I think overall, it's just the fans would have something to show for it. They've obviously had good times and really enjoyed the football. Juninho and, you know, Ravinelli scored lots of goals. I'm sure the season of the Championship was, well, Division 1 was really good with Merson and Gazza. It'd be nice to have some silverware, some like that big occasion to have enjoyed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
But yeah, after that, you know, Steve McClaren brought in, and Steve McClaren spent 6 years there. And they do win something. They win the League Cup in that time. They again have a runners-up in the UEFA Cup. Is that the one to, I want to say, Atletico Madrid?
Yeah, or was that Fulham?
Sevilla. This is Sevilla, yeah. Sorry, yeah, Sevilla with Aguero and Diego Forlan, David De Gea.
This this season, the 01-02 season, was the emergence of Gareth Southgate as a centre-back, I think. Or was it, no, signed from Villa?
No, yeah, he'd been quite established at the time.
Yeah, sorry, yeah. Established in the Middlesbrough team, not established.
Yeah, I mean, obviously would go on to manage. So McLaren leaves in 05-06 for the England job. Leaves for England job, he's has a 38% win rate at Middlesbrough.
Well, everyone knew he wasn't the favourite. It was Filippo Scolari, wasn't it? They wanted to replace Sven, I think, at the time. Yeah.
And you obviously have Gareth Southgate takes charge about their fourth season and actually sees him get relegated. He's now under manager, which I'm more than happy with. With Sally Tunkai, the top goal scorer in that season. Yeah, let's quickly run through the top goal scorers since post-Robson. We have Boxic again, Massimo Macaroni, who I remember watching in an Italy under-21s match and was amazing. Didn't quite manage it. Juninho go again, Jimmy Claude Hasselbank, Yakubu, Viduka, Stuart Downing was a top goal scorer the year before Tunkai. You have Scott McDonald, Marvin Emnes, oh my goodness, that's a name I hadn't remember. Scott McDonald again, Albert Adamoa, Patrick Bamford, oh, I forgot Patrick Bamford was at Borough. Christian Stuani, Alvaro, well, I've really forgotten that one, Alvaro Negredo. Of Man City
and Valencia.
Yeah, went on loan from Valencia to Middlesbrough. And I mean, I think it's slim pickings. It's a 10-goal haul for their relegated season.
Okay.
Britt Assombalonga, couple of seasons. Ashley Fletcher, Duncan Watnall, Matt Crooks. And now, you know, Michael Carrick's in charge.
And it's going
and, right. You know, 64% win rate. They're going to be in the playoffs. And so maybe. Just maybe we'll see them back in the Premier League once more.
Nice. And we'll end the episode there, Josh. And I'm going to end with a little bit of a correction of something we said earlier. Because Middlesbrough's actual highest finishing position in the Premier League is seventh under Steve McClaren when Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank was top goal scorer with 13 in the league. They finished seventh and got qualification for the UEFA Cup first round. So that was their highest ever finish in the Premier League. But we will end it there. So thank you so much for listening. We will we'll be back next week, hopefully. There might be a slight delay in next week's episode. But yeah, thank you so much for listening. If you want to find us on Instagram or on any sort of network and Twitter and things like that, we are Wikipedia Wanderers, and Josh is really trying to stifle a laugh because I've balls this up. So thank you so much for listening. We'll catch you soon. Cheers.